Basically, let me respond for myself this way. The truth of the matter is that we live in a society in which white dominance is mandated and was mandated by law for many, many years and is mandated by cultural tradition and has been for generations, even for centuries. And
that's obvious. I agree.
Okay.
You're telling me something obvious.
Well, I hope so.
Everybody who's given this any thought understands that that has been the case. The question again, I'll repeat it, how will mandating now a proportion, that this proportion is going to be black, this proportion is going to be women, this proportion is going to be white, how will that lead to the ideal that presumably we're all trying to get to?
Well, I don't think anyone's trying to break it down that specifically, but effectively, if you don't do something to counter the path of least resistance, what you end up with is the path of least resistance in any culture, and that path of least resistance leads to, as you can see on the airways of KPK itself, the interests of oppressed groups not being addressed. Ray?
Yes, I agree with that 100%. I mean, these are difficult decisions. If we're living in absolute, you know, a pure system, then we would apply pure rules. Dave is the lawyer here, but I can't imagine, I know of many cases within the law where you have different amendments or rights within the law that are at odds. And you have to decide, you have to weigh the relative importance of them. And sometimes you went in the direction of one right that curtails, in the case of KPFA, temporarily, hopefully,
it just seems to me,
rights of other aspects.
It seems to me that it's inevitable that, because human beings being what they are, inevitably, this situation will arise where you have an opening for somebody, and then somebody will say, and then you will have, a qualified Asian, a well-qualified Asian, but somebody's going to say, you know what, but that's going to be just one too many Asians. We need this. We need to meet the mandate here, the mandated diversity. And then you've defeated the whole purpose. The whole purpose was to recognize that excellence and quality can come from any skin color and any background. But if you find yourself in a situation where you say, well, you know, this person is great, but unfortunately he's Asian, and we need another black person, or we need another white person, or whatever, and then you've defeated your purpose.
Well, if the purpose, again, is just to produce pure programming that are detached from the reality of the society, then you're right. Then an individual who's great will be kept just because he's great. But for me, greatness doesn't have to do with ability to think quickly, to have information stored, but to represent a section of society that are dealing with serious problems that we have to resolve if we have to survive. One example that comes to my mind is KPFA. I think I've said that in the air, in the Bay Area. What came to my mind is Seattle. The effort of tens of thousands of individuals to create a movement that is strong enough to face the capitalist system, the new world order's priorities. And they went out of their way. They spent tens of thousands of hours. They sent tens of thousands of emails trying to reach everybody. The result was amazing. They got 50,000 individuals there. That is true. People of color were excluded in spite of their best effort. So in this case of Pacifica, as I said, not only is it mandated by the mission that we reach out to those communities, we believe that is the logic, the dialectics of our struggle today dictates that we do get those communities that are more at risk involved in this struggle, so that all of us can be saved together. And that therefore, we do have to go beyond the beaten path to make sure that the changes are made. And that is one tool that has been used in the past that has worked. It is an imperfect tool, and again, we can talk later about other ways of actually applying this methodology, so that we don't just get people of color, but get people with talent, and also who truly represent dynamic, progressive communities.
Thank you, caller, and thank you, Ray. We've got 45 minutes left in the hour and a full bank of phone calls.
I'd like to chime in on this.
Very briefly,
yeah,
please.
Well, the issue about Pacifica and diversity and the issue about affirmative action and quotas gets mixed up in semantics at times. I think that obviously a couple of the proposals, the bylaw proposals out there, do have hard and fast formulas. But I remember what Eben Ray, the staff representative from KPFK, the local advisory board, said, come on, we're grown-ups, we're diverse, look at this room, it's diverse. We don't need rules to make us more diverse. What we need is truly diverse perspectives, race, class, gender, and culture. How do we achieve that? And my concern is that we don't put too many hamstrings on ourselves. And I think that in this initial set of bylaws, inserting such diversity requirements is impractical. I think we need to set up a dynamic of bylaws where we can get people elected into an accountable position where they're subject to recall, and then have those people put together whatever they propose in terms of guidelines. But let's see what happens when we do an election. Will it be diverse? We have to achieve that. We have to go where we're not comfortable. But I'm not comfortable saying that us, the unelected national board reps and local advisory board reps, should develop a hard and fast system for that. I think we should leave that to those who are elected.
Okay, we'll have to agree to disagree on that. Line 5, you are on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
I'm concerned that I want to...
Turn your radio down, please.
Yeah, I did. I want to talk about the prospects for a delay. It seemed that last week everybody thought that we were going to have bylaws ratified in Houston, and here in L.A. we were opposed to that. The local advisory board seemed to want a delay, and some other people in Berkeley seemed to be afraid that what the board might do if there were a delay, and was arguing that we needed to have elections as soon as possible. It seems that the board, and in particular Rob Robinson, has changed his position. I remember particularly that on August 30th, he was arguing that thousands of people had input into the bylaws, and if people were dissatisfied, they'd have recourse to the amendment process. And today I heard him implying that the bylaws would not be ratified in Houston. And I wonder what this change in tack indicates.
Dave, why don't you take that?
There's no change in tack. I mean, the fact is that the process is what the process is. And we need to... We've got 5 to 7 or 10, depending on how many you want to look at as being different, bylaws proposals, each of which containing dozens of particular provisions, all of which will be looked at, and hopefully one or more models will be boiled down as being relatively representative of, the perspectives. That'll be looked at over this coming weekend in Houston.
And so you don't think that there's any chance that this time period will be used to purchase more stations and in that fashion control the upcoming elections?
That's a bizarre concept. Look, we can barely pay our bills now. We're not buying any stations this year. It's not a perspective attached to any concept in reality. It's rhetorical, and it's an interesting concept. But look, the fact is, we're barely staying afloat. And the people that are arguing that so we should expand the network, that's wonderful. It's a brilliant notion. But the boat's barely afloat, let alone moving forward.
So there's no chance that there'll be money coming from foundations or from Democratic sources in the near future?
No. Chance. That's absurd. Democratic sources? I'm waiting for a check from the chair of the Democratic Party or Stanley Scheinbaum to buy a new station. I don't think that's going to happen, Harrison. And the fact is, let's stay focused on the issue. The issue is we got to rebuild a network. We got to rebuild relationships amongst the various entities and communities. We got to develop a way to achieve diversity. We've got to develop a way to achieve, the missions of Pacifica and get the voice out on the air and talk about whether or not we're going to get bought out by Democratic Party operatives is really not germane. We got to develop an accountable system. Let's do that.
Thank you, caller. We're going to move on. Dave, do you really think that this coming weekend the Pacifica National Board is going to be in a position to forge a set of bylaws that have been thoroughly considered from every angle and that actually represents a real consensus process?
I think that the National Board has been going through months and months and months, hundreds and hundreds of hours of meetings. I know some people think that the longer the meeting is, the better it is. But in any event, there's certainly been a lot of them, and they've been thorough. I think every good idea has been surfaced. I think that every board member that has done any of their homework has seen these good ideas and has engaged in discussions with the people in their signal areas and elsewhere. So it's not as though there's only going to be a three-day meeting and boom, then there's some new brand-new product. No, it's a process. It's a process that we've been engaging in, and as Ray was saying, there's a lot of really good ideas out there that a lot of people have been discussing. There's been argument. David Moore, Lou Hill's son, put something in the internet recently. that I thought was particularly apt in talking about the idea of of using oppositional language and the investment of egos in various ideas. I think we need to all look at these various wonderful ideas dispassionately, and I think we can come up with at least start to boil down the model. And if we don't, well, we're gonna be talking about this for another 2 years. We've got to get going on this. I don't think there's going to be a hurry, and there's certainly no chance that we'll come out of this board meeting with a finished set, because it has to be reviewed by the local advisory boards. Two-thirds of them have to approve that, or three or five of them have to approve that, at a two-thirds vote within each local advisory board. And then whatever that ends up with, that's got to be approved by a two-thirds vote of the national board. The notion that this would occur within the next month or two, I think, is, again, not related to the realities of logistics.
A note to the board engineer, the levels for David Furtig are rising and falling. If there's anything we can do about that, let's please do. We're going to move on now to line 8. Line 8, you're on the air. Oh, lost line 8. Let's try line 9. Line 9, you're on the air.
Wow, I made it, huh?
You did indeed.
I've been cut off like 4 times and redialed. But anyway, basically what I have to say is mainly comment and with very little question. I've been a supporter since 66. I'm here at KPFK. And early on, or much of the time, I was only able to give financial support, and considerable amount of that. My early days, I distributed the KPFK folio to outlying areas, and I living in one of them down here in San Pedro, not too far from the Avalon Collar. Basically, I also want to weigh in on the idea of a better planning and the move of the national office. However, I am in favor of it being moved back to Berkeley. I also think that as far as buying more stations, at this point, because of expansion hasn't happened in the last 25 years, is obvious to me. There's been more and more requirements put down. It's more costly. CPB funding has become ridiculous to get over the last few years. It's become more and more difficult to receive any assistance from the government. And I know, not being computer literate myself or having access to a computer, I know that many people listen online, and I see that as more of a future access to outlying areas rather than a true expansion into areas. I also am aware that through the years, periodically, there has been sharing with programming with other community state non-Pacific stations. And I see that as a positive influence in other areas. I think that the parameters of the National Interim Board were to do certain things and then help a national board get elected and let them involve themselves in the more of the fine details within the certain structural bylaws parameters. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for participation at the interim board. I did listen to the recent national board replay on KBFK, and I was amazed at the interruptions from, I believe, somebody from Washington Board, a man that was very abrasive, and it was embarrassing to me. I was sad for the chairwoman not to have a mute button, and I saw her as trying to be more inclusive, and he was being very hard as far as procedural motions. In the end, yes, the vote was what I thought it should be, that more planning be put in place for the move of a national office.
Okay, thank you, caller, so
Bye-bye.
Much for your input. We appreciate it. Line 10, you're on the air. Hello, line 10, are you there?
Yes.
Please go ahead.
Well, the only thing I wanted to comment on was you talked about professionalism, and I think sometimes the word professionalism is equated with a kind of selling out, and just the kind of thing that's been going on the show with we've heard as many dial tones and operators' voices and high and low and losing, not knowing if the other person's on the line. That's I just want to say that when you're talking about professionalism, it seems that that should be the least, the lowest line of professionalism that we should have, so that we can contact people and not be hearing on the air the kind of mistakes that are being made. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. I would tend to agree with that caller. Line 11, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Yes, sir, I'd like to talk about the problem of racism and the gulf between, shall we say, white radicals and black radicals.
Go there.
There's a gulf even in Los Angeles. At the bylaws meetings, out of 90 people, there were 2 or 4 blacks.
That's certainly true.
And the original groups of 80 and 90 dwindled and dwindled and dwindled till we finally called a convention, and the convention, at the convention, 24 showed.
That's not
and
correct.
And a few
that's
of those were the lab four. Members that had to come.
No lab members had to come, and actually the numbers were closer to 40, but okay. Nonetheless, you're correct about the distribution of
and
people
I
of color versus
the reason
whites.
That people started out heavy and ended low was the backbiting and the contentions and the other things that a lot of people said they didn't have time for. So my point is that there are groups, there will be cliques, and then this convention has to work with what they have. And the only way diversity rules and regulations may or may not work, and the only way to get real diversity is for people to step up to the plate. Whoever we elect have to take the ball in their hands and make a diverse system.
It's going to be a struggle. Thank you so much for your call.
Well, Rafael, this is Ray. I would add to this, though, that hopefully we have to put things in place before we do the election, so that the diversity criteria that we would have would bring that diversity, you know, in the identity of the individuals being elected. And then those will take the struggle further.
All right. Thank you, Ray. Line 1, you're on the air. Hello, line 1, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Please speak up.
I have a statement. And I'd like to...
Are you on
the radio here?
Yes, please.
Sorry.
Do, because you're echoing badly.
Actually, what I wanted to say, which I said in an email to all the board members this morning, was that many people responded to the cry to by opening their walls to bail out Pacifica with the understanding
that
the interim board, the current board, which is an interim board...
Excuse me one second. Is this Rob Robinson?
No.
No, okay. You sound just like him. Please go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry. the interim board would have the responsibility of, within the 15-month period, creating a new set of bylaws that would be more democratic, that would include the responses that the major concerns that brought the lawsuits in the first place. So to understand the idea that Pacifica, since it is listener-sponsored and since it has the mission that Lou Helsa set forth in the first place, is to be a democratic institution. It is to take into account listener sponsors and input from the labs. And that being said, you know, the consensus of opinion was that the board would be moved back to Berkeley after at least the interim period, if not before. And the current proposals seem to be against that, and to me that's a demonstration where they are against that. They're breaking faith with the new faith that has been created with the listener community, under which, you know, fundraising has been raised to pay off these debts that were incurred by the previous board. I mean, I really feel that in their ideas about acquiring stations and, you know, basically setting out for a new broadcasting empire, which, you know, maybe all of us would want under different circumstances, but right now is not the time. And that their sole purpose, their main purpose, is to adopt a set of bylaws that are more democratic and then to relinquish their power and see it to be moved back to Berkeley where the consensus of opinion was it would be the safest way to progress from that point on in Pacifica's mission.
Okay. Thank you for your input.
Sure.
Line 2, you're on, well, not quite. Line 2, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
Oh, thanks. I never thought I'd get on. You know, I want to say that buying stations is a lovely dream, but first things first. And am I still? Okay.
You're here.
I did hear the meeting, the national meeting, the last meeting, and I was appalled. What I want to know, but I'll go on, and then maybe you can answer it if you want, is how did someone who is on the supposedly greedy, evil board get onto the new temporary board? That's what I want to know. Who happened to be drunk and was so abusive, I couldn't believe it. If you have these kind of people on the board, how are we going to get anywhere? And, what, you know, it's like nuts. Okay, the original station was found in Berkeley. It grew. It lasted all these years. Then a greedy group of right-wingers come by, and they steal the station, take it to Washington. I mean, how dumb is this? 45 years in Berkeley, and it can't go back to Berkeley? I mean, why did the meeting stop, and why? I just don't understand what's going on here. And as far as diversity, you know, I mean, I'm into diversity as much as anyone else, but today we all need health care. We all need jobs. There are so many other things going on, and a radio station is about quality. It's about having things on that are interesting. It's in this station, it should be politics and about changing the country and getting more people involved, no matter what color they are, white, green, red, black. I am tired of this. I mean, it was such a wonderful dream to hear that you came back. And then all this crap. It does sound like the people in Washington are bonded to the national board. Well, then they can understand how the people in Berkeley were more bonded and how they started the whole thing. You really shouldn't go anywhere till you get that settled. And by the way, the last thing I want to say is, why can't we do what happened to the stations? The stations, we have the stations again, right? There was a lawsuit, and they said we have the stations again. Well, when we have the stations, we also should have moved the national board right away. And since we were around to not doing it, let's do it now. Why can't we just do it? Who are those people, those abusive people with bad language, that are saying that we can't? And I'll hear what you have to say.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. I'm going to turn that to Ray LaForce. Ray, can you answer that in about 30 seconds?
Well, First, I would say to the point about diversity, I would say that outside of mission concern and other notions, it is clear that when one looks at the history of this country within the last 50 years or so, that no major progress has been made in terms of inclusion and participation by women and other people of color, except when these special measures were taken. That as long as we're trying to, unless we had a radical change that's happened in a different kind of society where the resources of the state were truly put at the. For example, if you look at Cuba as a transformative society, with whatever limitation they have then identified groups, individuals as being, you know, Afro, whatever. However, they have truly invested the resources of the society to everybody, particularly those who need it, and therefore they dealt with the problem that way. This is not the situation right here. Now, in terms of the situation in Berkeley and moving the station there, I voted my conscience based on a process that I felt was not appropriate, that was not thorough enough. As I said earlier, I've received many emails telling me to do this or else, although this is the position of individuals, I understand that. But I also realize that people have become so emotionally attached to this that they're not willing to look at arguments. So I would say, to summarize, that first there's a process of looking at it that itself is valuable, that if you distort it, you're setting a precedent for issues to be resolved, you know, in an abusive, a way, and that is not necessarily the best way for us. And as I said earlier again, there are some very basic information about moving in terms of cost that we don't have an answer to. I would say, for example, when Ross Wisdom, who's the accountant, said in Berkeley and in Los Angeles first and in Berkeley that he was absolutely against any move. So until now, I don't know if any individual was asked him to specify, to say specifically what he meant by that, and have him to detail the notion of what's behind it. And again, there are other notions for me. For example, if Jabari says, for example, that there should be part of a finance office remaining in Washington, I do not want to dismiss it offhand without looking into it seriously. And I believe we haven't done that yet.
Okay. Thank you for that, right?
And I want to address something here really quickly. First of all,
be very brief. Be very, very brief.
In any event, the caller indicated Bert Lee was drunk. No, he was not drunk. He's not crazy. He's crazy like a fox. He was named onto the board by the defendant board members because of his ability to achieve things politically. And when Bert interferes with a meeting such as he did, he does so in a calculated manner. And also, she indicated the Berkeley to D.C. move in the dead of night was by right-wingers. It was not. It was done by liberals, some of whom were opportunists. And we're facing a political process. We need a successful vote to get the move to happen. But to get a vote, we have to address the concerns like Ray articulated. Now, there is now, provided to the National Board, a detailed report from the National Office relating to the move. And I'm hoping that Ray and others who have legitimate concerns, these are not, you know, good versus evil issues. These are legitimate concerns. That when you look at that report, perhaps we'll be able to review this matter and deal with it in Houston. To have the vote to move accomplished so that we can proceed.
Line 8, you're on KPFK.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
I have a simple solution that I'd like to propose, namely that you divide the foundation up into the local stations, and each station would be autonomous. And if they wanted to have a loose confederation where they swap programs or other activities, that's fine. But, I mean, it's clearly obvious that all these levels of input and boards and so forth, that you're basically creating an unmanageable behemoth. And it seems that the issues are common at local levels. Levels of diversity could be determined according to local interests. And you could do away with the board. People could get together to foster mutual interest, but the results would reside in local areas. I'd be particularly interested in hearing the opinions of Mr. Furtick, our local director here in Los Angeles, as well as your other guests. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, yeah, thanks. The idea of decentralizing Pacifica and creating five different, entities is an intriguing notion, and I think the decentralization of power and representation is important. Local governance is vital. However, if Pacific were to say, okay, we're going to cut loose the 90.7 bandwidth and give it to a separate nonprofit that's located in Los Angeles to manage it under the Pacifica mission, that license then goes up for grabs. And the idea that we'll be able to recover it is more than a risky one. It's an unlikely one. We're facing a huge assault by centralized media forces such as Clear Channel, and we need to strengthen ourselves, not weaken ourselves. But that doesn't negate local governance. And I think most of the bylaws proposals do create, including the one that I've propounded, do create a dynamic wherein local people are elected to govern the local board. Now, how that evolves down the road, they're all somewhat different. But it's vital. And I think most of the board recognizes there needs to be local governance.
Line 3, you're on the air. Hello, line 3. Please go ahead. You're on KPFK Matters.
Hello?
Yes.
The call for local governance was first proposed in a set of bylaws by the Pacific Accountability Committee, which was presented to the National Board in June of 1997. Had there been any intellectual integrity on the part of Pacifica managers at that time, there would have been a full discussion of these issues before the meltdown in 99. The same bylaws were again presented in March of 2002, and then they were rewritten as national bylaws and presented to National on last Labor Day weekend. However, they're not up on the matrix, so most people, even though the Pacific Accountability Committee bylaws are a matter of discussion for people that know about them, most people do not know about them because there hasn't been the integrity to put them into the matrix or put them up on the Pacifica.org website, which would be a basic issue of simple integrity to do that. Now, in terms of moving the office into Washington, D.C., there was no problem in unmoving the office to Washington, D.C., and no real concern about the people that had employment when the office was in Berkeley. I've always been interested in a comment by Little Crow, who says that nothing good can come out of Washington, D.C. until the bones of the Native Americans that are held in the basement of the Smithsonian are returned to the Indian peoples. And that has been made more difficult in as much as in a lot of collections, the bones have been purposely mixed up and separated from their original collections. So the lack of integrity in this whole country is just like slightly reflected in Pacifica. And it would be nice, even in simple things like a representation, KPFK has one national lab rep, WPFW, Washington, has five.
It actually has six.
That's a really skewed thing. Now, the PAC bylaws do call for diversity because we realize it's a problem. Here in L.A., I mean, California has, even in Aboriginal times, California has had 60 to 100 different groups of people living in California as nations. And California now, even in L.A., there's like 200 cultures represented in L.A. Well, there's no way to impose a quota system, but you certainly can, you know, err on the side of diversity. And the PAC bylaws give various mechanisms to allow that. Particularly, we would like to see 50% women represented on the boards of not only the local stations of Pacifica, but certainly the Pacifica National Board.
Thank you so much for your call, caller. Dave Furry, what has happened with the statement by the KPFK Bylaws Subcommittee that it had submitted a number of different bylaws proposals for consideration by the Interim Pacifica National Board, including the Pacifica Accountability Committee bylaws that the caller was just addressing? Will those be on the grid that the Pacifica National Board will be looking at as they go through and make point-by-point determinations about what the content of the bylaws will be?
Well, as you know, there's a grid that's been developed by Carol Spooner, who's the chair of the Bylaws Committee and the secretary of the National Board. And, of course, Carol Spooner is famous for having been the lead plaintiff and main organizer for the Listener lawsuit, one of the lawsuits that brought us to this juncture. Carol Spooner has undertaken to incorporate the KPFK Bylaws Subcommittee proposal, which you're calling the unity proposal, the conference proposal, whatever it wants to be called, that is on the grid, although I'm not sure that the current revisions are there, but that's something that I think that Sarah and you and Carol may be working on. I know that Carol undertook to put that one on the grid. The Pacific Accountability Bylaws, which is a great set that has been a very strong guiding light for a lot of the issues and the amount of work that was put into that, has been extraordinarily productive to all the bylaws drafts, and that is in the minds and on the tables of everyone. Whether it's in the grid, I don't know. I understood that there was a scheduling thing insofar as Carol had prepared the grid and that that was not in front of her when she did it. But I strongly have advocated that that be brought into everyone's purview as a thing to consider. The KPFK Bylaws Subcommittee proposal, which is different from the one that I personally crafted, which is known as Version C, but the KPFK Bylaws Committee subcommittee proposal is on the grid, and it has been distributed, the most recent version of it. I distributed it personally to the various national board reps throughout the United States, as well as making sure that it got on the Pacifica.org website.
Okay, well, I think we'll have to take the listener's comments about intellectual integrity in the process.
Well,
Lloyd, judge for ourselves.
Yeah, I think integrity is in the eye of the beholder. I think that just because someone disagrees with me doesn't mean that they don't have integrity, but I think that we need to strive towards greater integrity.
Well, there's a question of integrity of process. Line 5, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. The system that you have for screening the calls is like kind of like torture. I mean, because it's like I feel like it was a crapshoot that I got in on. I think a better system would be if you just took...
Let's save that for after the show. Could you address the questions that are
on
the table?
My comment is, as far as the move from Berkeley, that I pretty much feel that it was stolen in the dead of the night and it needs to go back. And I also feel that, for instance, the conversation that was played by Eva Georgia, the teleconference, I feel like the same thing is going on. For instance, the teleconference was done. It was voted on at the last PMB meeting, last national meeting, to move back to Berkeley. And then on a teleconference, they slyly put through something to go back. I mean, to keep it there in Washington. And what I would like, I mean, so the Houston meeting is this next weekend, correct? I mean,
that's
the Houston.
Correct.
I would like to. I know these. This conversation, I think, is a little. I mean, this
Please
whole.
Please get to the point, caller.
Okay, my point is, I would like for the national board meetings to be on the radio, so the listener sponsors. I know it's kind of boring and all that, but we're talking about the people that put the money, the listener sponsors that send money in as fundraisers. They are the ones that own the stations, I believe. And me being one. So I think that for their concern, whatever happens at this national meeting should be, they should be able to have access to hear what's going on. So if something like what happened at that teleconference, they can know what's going on, know where their money is going. That's the importance of a listener being able to. That's one of the, for instance, one of the things in the KPFK bylaws that was voted upon, whereby meetings like that would be, there would be a transparency, so the listeners would be empowered in that manner.
Thank you, caller. We have a full bank of phone lines, and we only have about 10 minutes left on this program. We're going to move on now to line 7. Line 7, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. My name is Arturo Lemos. I'm calling from downtown Los Angeles. I believe that we are advancing. We're moving forward. I think the problem is in the fact that we have been proven ourselves to be somehow inept at organizing ourselves and involving the community. For example, this bylaws conference that took place was a very good move. I hear that only, 40 people attended, which is very unfortunate. But if in the beginning the whole progressive community that is participating in the development of Pacifica and KPFK had gotten together and strategized and say, this is what we need to do to get everybody involved, and this is the steps that we need to do, and we would have called a KPFK-wide conference to decide all of this that we're doing, we would have increased participation, we would have reached some goals, we would have advanced forward in a better way, but
Arturo,
we have gone in a haphazard way. We really haven't been organized.
Arturo, the strong point of the Bylaws Convention was that it represented at least leading members of many different groups, including the KPFK Bylaws Subcommittee, the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network,
yeah,
the KPFK Lab, the Pacific Accountability Committee, and it was a real effort, I think, to draw a consensus from all the organized elements of listeners and lab within the Pacifica network here locally, and to really forge a consensus of opinion. I think we did a very good job of it. Granted, there's infighting. There always is in any kind of movement like this.
Yeah.
Is there a particular point you'd like our guest to address?
Yes, definitely. And I'm not knocking out this event that just happened. I'm just mentioning the fact that we're moving pretty slow, but we're moving forward.
Okay.
And if we keep our eyes on the prize and we decide what is it that we want, what we want is a democratic, transparent, participative radio station, a community radio station that really represents all the diverse communities within its programming, within its staff, within its governing board of all the diverse communities in Southern California. And that is our goal. And how do we get there? And so we need to really, put some time into that. And also the whole economics issue of maintaining the station. I mean, how can we do that? So, I just want to say we are moving forward. We are doing it very slow, and we need to strategize more. Thank you.
Thank you, Arturo.
Can I say something quickly? Somebody, the 2 callers ago, somebody mentioned having these events broadcast, and I support that completely. I'm looking at information that Leslie sent to the board this morning. And, I don't know what the situation is in Los Angeles, because she says that she has no information yet.
Leslie is the chair of the
what's
National
happening.
Board.
That's the only station for which we have no information. At this point, WBI will cover the whole, everything from Friday to Sunday, in Washington, D.C. They will cover Saturday and Sunday. In Houston, Houston is the only station that will not cover. And KPFA will cover Saturday and Sunday and carry part of Friday as a news item. And everything will be webcast on WBIX.org.
Okay. The Pacifica National Board will be meeting in Houston September 20th through the 22nd. It's really critical that listeners, be in a position to attend that meeting in Houston if possible. If not, it's critical that you go to Pacifica.org and give your comments on the bylaws. There's a place there for you to do that. So stay tuned to KPFK for other announcements along these lines about what you can do. We're going to go now to line number 9. We have only a very few minutes left. Caller, please be brief.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
I'm a caller from Los Angeles, and I've been listening to your show, and I've been listening to Pacifica, KPFK, since 1991 during the Gulf War, and my family and my friends have all donated, and we're thrilled to see that Amy Goodman is back on the air, and Mark Chubb is gone, and Mark Cooper. And when, during the Gulf War, it was based in Berkeley, it needs to go back to Berkeley. And I think that the station is still under assault from the people that took it over in the first place. And there's no reason why it shouldn't go back. I think Lou Hill would support that. And the main goal is that the voice of the people be heard, especially in a time when we're under such assault. And I'll just leave my question for comment off the air. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Line 1, you're on the air.
Hello?
Line 1, yes, please go ahead.
Hi. I also wanted to talk about the move to Berkeley. The reason for moving the board back to Berkeley is that there are tens of thousands of people in Berkeley who are activists and who were strong enough to take KPFA back when it was hijacked. The motion to prevent the move back to Berkeley was engineered by Rob Robinson, who is a total Democratic Party hack. He's pro-real estate, anti-labor. Bert Lee voted for this also. He was a hijacker who did everything to stay with the old board that purged all the progressive programming. George Barnstone is a member of a group purging all progressive broadcasters in Houston. Teresa Allen is allied with that group. Now Ray LaForest, I guess Rob Robinson has bugged out one way or another here, but I would like to ask Ray LaForest to be a lot more clear about why he voted with this Washington, Texas axis here to keep the board in Washington, where it will be under the thumb of the most dangerous national regime, the Bush junta, that we have ever had in U.S. history.
Well, I will say quickly, I don't know if you heard what I said earlier. We did not vote to keep the board in Washington. We voted to delay the move. As far as I know, only one individual, Bert Lee, said in public that is against the move. There may be others, and I'm sure that people are motivated by different dynamics. I said earlier that I felt that the process of looking at this was not satisfactory to me at all, and that not only I did not want, I hope that we can avoid taking such an important decision the way we attempted to do it, and by trying to cut corners, we're still where we were earlier. And also on a different level, I would say that I said earlier again that there was some suggestion made about changing the way it's being, the institution is allocated in different areas. And I think that we should have a clear, sharp discussion as to the merits of that notion and dismiss it after the discussion rather than doing it beforehand. And lastly, I would say that, you know, if I had a priceless car and I parked it someplace that turned out to be, vulnerable and somebody attempted to steal it, and put it someplace else, and because, I don't know, there was a noise, maybe it took off, I wouldn't necessarily want to put the car back where it was, because that's where it was originally, and therefore, since a thief put it somewhere else, I would insist on putting it in the original position, although I could see clearly, maybe, that, you know, where he put it might have been better. I'm just saying that in general, that I want the whole set of issues to be discussed and evaluated, and that the process be set up of such deliberate discussions with everything that is important to us.
Well, what?
Forgive me, caller. I actually just cut the caller off. Dave,
I need
stop.
To make a comment here.
No, please.
That's
we
very
have
important
no,
because
Dave.
I'm
no,
Dave. Robinson,
Dave.
I've got to tell
no, we have a minute and a half left, and we need to wrap up. I'm
Robinson
sorry.
Robinson and Allen have
sacrificed a great deal for Pacifica. I take exception to those characterizations of those people.
Thank you, David. Now, just to wrap up, the Pacifica National Board is meeting this weekend. They're going to be determining the future of Pacifica in terms of its bylaws, in terms of its structure. The decision is being made this evening whether KPFK will broadcast the Pacifica National Board meeting live. Whatever your feelings about that, I'm sure that your input will be welcome at the station at 818-985-2711. Please give your call or send an email to the station to let people know what you feel about that. You've been listening to KPFK Matters. I want to thank very much both Rob Robinson and Ray LaForest and Dave Fertig, all members of the Interim Pacifica National Board, especially to Dave, who has been gracious enough to join us at the last minute when we lost Rob due to some confusion. Thank you all very much for your participation. Hopefully, for you listeners, we address questions that are key to the future of Pacifica, including questions around accountability, diversity, the future of the Pacifica Network, its orientation toward its mission, and so forth. Again, you've been listening to KPFK Matters. My name is Rafael Renteria.